friend whom you have betrayed, and they forgive you and come back to you as your friend, you've got a true friend. The acid test of a friendship in this particular instance would be the ability not only to forgive and to get past the betrayal and the hurt that were caused by the betrayal, but then to restore the friendship and to do it genuinely and not, you know, kind of a grudgingly or at an arm's distance, but to genuinely restore the friendship even after a betrayal. You then have the best friend of the world. You then have a true friend, because that's the toughest way to be able to get past the potential loss of a friendship. You can really potentially lose a friendship, one that matters a whole lot to you, that way, the worst one. How do you tell your true friends from your nominal friends? Well, here are a couple. Go to the book of Proverbs. Sometimes you don't know until it's too late who they are, which is which. Sometimes you find out only, and perhaps almost always, you find out after the fact who your true friends are versus those who claim or purport to be your friends. Something comes out of that. People's motives are mixed. In establishing a friendship, sad but true, this is truer, I think, maybe, among men than among women. And the reason I say it's truer among than among women is that men, in this in particular, often friends in order to establish a relationship, in order to have whatever the advantages are that come from that business relationship to men. But oftentimes, you find that is what happens. Why those triggers for advantage? In fact, that's a normal kind of human motive, isn't it? Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. What's the motive in it for the person involved out of it, besides your friendship? Proverbs chapter, first part of verse 4, makes many friends. Turn to verse 6 of the same proverb. This is Proverbs 19:4, first part of verse 4, wealth makes many friends. And verse 6, second part of verse 6, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. I remember that when I was in Taiwan and in Singapore I learned a lesson that one of the great strengths of the Chinese community is the ability to express friendship through the giving of gifts. That it is expected, almost, that to be a friend means that you will give a gift. And I remember the trips that I have taken overseas in that part of the world, coming back with large suitcases full of gifts. Because everyone that you meet, whether they become, quote, a friend or not, wants to give you a gift. Now, I have a close friend, a Chinese friend, who is a close friend, and he said to me, he says, Ed, I want to tell you a little secret. He said, sometimes, when we give gifts, it's because we want them to give us one back. Sometimes, not always. Because we want them to give us one back. So what's the motives? Then you can determine more easily sometimes whether they are friends or not. What are they gaining? What advantage are they gaining by virtue of their friendship with you? Turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. One passage that is very familiar. Joshua judges Ruth. One of the sweetest stories of friendship anywhere in the Bible. Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Ruth the Moabitess says to Naomi, the lady from Judah, who's lost her two sons, and this is one of her daughters-in-law, who wants to go with her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Judah. We read in verses 16 and 17, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. That is a strong statement of commitment a friendship that one could possibly find anywhere in the Bible. We know from reading the rest of the book of Ruth how that was actually borne out, how that was actually worked out. But I will tell you this. How you tell who your true friends are by those who stick. By those who stick. Have you heard of the phrase, a fair-weather friend? That's such a familiar phrase. In the New Testament, I'm not going to... Yes?
Well, I just read recently, I do identify a friend. A true friend is one who walks in when everyone else walks out.
Touche. Who walks in when everybody else leaves? That's a true friend. Right. The friend who sticks through thick and thin is the one who proves to be the true friend. Yes, Lord.
I heard that a friend who is a true friend will go through hell with you, whatever happens to you.
Right, through hell and high water.
That's it.
That's right.
That's what I was trying to say.
Exactly, exactly. They are willing, they're not going to be embarrassed by your troubles, they're not going to be put off by your troubles, they're not going to resent your troubles. They're going to say, you're my friend. That's all that matters. Not the issues, not the circumstances, not your embarrassment. You're my friend, period. The true friend, the one who is not just a friend in a fair weather sense, is the one who sticks no matter what. Yes.
And also it's involved in conditional.
Yes, she's getting you've taken the very point that I wanted to bring about as I come to conclusion, but you're absolutely right. For commitment, genuine commitment of to a friendship, to any relationship that is deep, is going to be involving love and the love that is unconditional. Because you see, friendship involves giving. And friendship involves doing what is in the best interests of the other. And not a relationship that is not a genuine friendship is entered into for my advantage and for my benefit. But a true friendship is entered into because I want to do good to you. I want to see you gain advantages, and I want you to be blessed, and I want your life to go forward. And those are the things that motivate a true friendship. Yes, Arsha?
I think it's very interesting that our families, who really should be as close to their friends as possibly be, are very often the quickest ones to walk out when you make a mistake.
Yes. That's why there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A true friend may not be the person who is flesh and blood, because they may not have... You remember, even Jesus' own brothers, during the time of his earthly ministry, were kind of hard on him. They were saying to him, you shouldn't be hiding your you know, go public. And James was one of the most vocal of his half-brothers to say that to him. And yet, when the time came after the resurrection, James, the half-brother, was one of the ones to whom he appeared specially, and who became a leader of the local church in Jerusalem after that. But this was a man whose heart had to be changed. Who was not close to Jesus in the sense of being supportive of Jesus' ministry. If the disciples were more supportive by comparison with his relatives. They were much fairer weather friends than were his own disciples, and some of the disciples proved not to be good friends as well, and Judas, of course, being the worst case. Yes? Yes, Ed?
I want to use as a working definition of love. Love is extending yourself for another person.
Absolutely. And see, God's definition of love, agape love, is God's kind of love. There are different kinds, but God's kind of love, agape love in Greek, means a love that only acts for the good of the other. Now, why is that God's kind of love? I'll tell you why it's God's kind of love. Because God cannot gain any advantage. He is perfect and complete already. Therefore, whatever we do may please him and may bless him, but does not serve to improve him. God doesn't have any advantage to gain. Therefore, when he gives, it is always for our advantage, because he has no advantage to gain. And the perfect friend is the one who literally does everything for your good and not for their own. No one is perfect who is human. There is always a mixed motive in there somewhere. And the fact I said that friendship is reciprocal, that is to say, there is a reasonable expectation of return, that the effort invested in the friendship this way should have some kind of return investment coming back this way. Did I see the hand? Linda, go ahead. I didn't want to ignore your comment.
I was thinking about the term friend being a covenant term. That's when Jesus says, "You are my friend."
Yes.
You're in covenant with.
Yes. Yes.
So that Abraham was his friend.
Yes.
Covenant with Abraham.
She's taking my whole clothes. These Bible teachers, they always do it to you. Go ahead. I'm teasing. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
It's true. You know, just think, you know, that God can call us friends.
It's right. It's amazing. And there are other examples as well. Moses was called a friend of God. And so for God to call Abraham friend, to call Moses friend, to call David a man after his own heart and friend, for him to extend or express his heart to a human and to say, "This is what you mean to me," is incredible. In fact, the Lord Jesus said this to his disciples, and Linda was alluding to this, and let's get to that passage, because it's one that I wanted to get to before we close today anyway. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John 15 in the New Testament. I'm going to read a little list to you in a moment. I don't want to take another whole week on this, but I will read that list of what it means to be a friend. I think it's so obvious in most cases, but this is the most important, so let's look at the most important. John chapter 15, starting in verse 12. "This is my commandment," Jesus said to his disciples, "that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." The notion of sacrifice. That is, it's not convenient for me to give you my time, to give of my resources when you have need. But because you are truly my friend, I will sacrifice, and I'll do it willingly and gladly. "Greater love no one has than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Only God can say that. Only God can say that. Human beings can manipulate one another and say, "You want me to be your friend, you better do what I say." That's human manipulation. But what Jesus is saying here is, I have made you. I have created you. And I understand exactly what it takes for your life to be fulfilled. And what it takes for your life to be fulfilled is to do what I have designed for you, which are the commandments that I've given. And if you heed those commandments, which is how I've intended for you to live your life, then you're going to be fulfilled and you're going to be happy and you're going to be the kind of person I designed you to be. If you do those things, it shows you love me, Jesus is saying. If you love me, keep my commandments, he said, in another place. And here he is saying, you are my friends if you, for your own benefit, do whatever I command you. "No longer do I call you servants," he says in verse 15, "for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from the Father, I have made known to you." Here is this matter of sharing, sacrifice and sharing. I give of myself and I share my whole heart to a true best friend. "For all things that I heard from my Father," not some things, but all things that he wanted you to know, "I have shared with you. You did not choose me, but I chose you to be my friends. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. I want to close with this. Proverbs chapter 17. How to be a friend. I'm just going to read the list. We've touched on a couple of them already in this passage from John 15. How to be a friend? By sharing everything. Reasonable. By sacrificing everything. That's reasonable. By telling the truth. By giving good advice. By not being jealous. And finally, and most importantly, by loving them. By loving them, as Jesus just said. And the way we show our love to God is by obeying him. What? Well, that was John 15, 12 to 15. Those other passages have references, which I'll be glad to give you. I just don't have time to go over all of them. But sharing, sacrificing, telling the truth, giving good advice, not being jealous. Finally, and most importantly, Proverbs 17, 17. Proverbs 17, 17. This is critical. This is the bottom line, folks. This is it. A friend loves
at all times. And a brother is born, a true brother, is born for adversity. Whether it's a friend who is your brother, your blood brother, or whether it is a friend who is your brother in Christ, or whether it is a friend who is a friend without any other kind of qualification, that friend will love you unconditionally. That is, you won't have to perform to earn their friendship. You will not have to perform to earn their friendship. And your failure to perform, if they are your true friend, will not cause the final end of that friendship. That's kind of important to know, isn't it? You see, you can risk failing. You can risk failing with someone who loves you unconditionally. You can't risk failing if the person's going to judge you and condemn you and throw you out. You know the persons that you can trust that way. There are some persons maybe you're coming to know who you believe you can trust that way, but whoever they are, whoever they have been, these persons are the ones who have been willing to sacrifice for you, to share with you, to give of themselves to you, who have gone through thick and thin with you, who have come out the other side of those valleys, and they're still your friend, and who have demonstrated by their loyalty, by their commitment to you, that their love is unconditional, because they haven't wavered over a long period of time. They simply haven't wavered. When you've got that solid a friend, you have a huge gift from God. Huge gift from God. Yes. Okay. Amen. Amen. In fact, the scripture says that the best perfume there is, and I didn't read that verse, is the hearty and honest counsel of a friend. The sweetest perfume there is the hearty and honest counsel of a friend. And yes, that's absolutely true. God is so good to us. We didn't go over David and Jonathan and their wonderful example of friendship. There are many others in the Bible, but you know them. Except to say that this is something that we take for granted. We don't think hard. We often abuse friends and friendships because we take them for granted, and we don't know that there are ground rules for friends and for friendships. And that's really what we've been talking about today. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Father, you are our friend. You have declared yourself to be such because you have given of yourself. You have sacrificed yourself. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And, O Lord Jesus, how you demonstrated your friendship in that most unmistakable way by dying upon the cross for our sins. Not because it was to your advantage, but because it was to our advantage. How we thank you for maintaining your friendship to us, that like the prodigal in the story that you told while upon the earth, that no, even when we are rebellious against you, because we are your children, you still wrap your arms of love around us. When we come back in repentance, you are still waiting to love on us, even when we have betrayed you. Oh, how you love us. May we love you, and may we love one another in that absolutely clear way, that unconditional loving way that overcomes all obstacles, even the worst of obstacles, and that repents of those things that have been barriers, that have been causes of separation, even between friends. May it be today that as we think of those in our lives that we have separated from, or that we have not maintained a friendship as we ought, that today and from this day forward, we may, as you show us and as you burden us, reach out to those and restore those relationships and those friendships and do those things that are the conditions for true friendship. We pray, Father, this will be true for us and in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray, with thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you.